CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. This is the time we get together answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, examining whether we are following the teachings of the Bible or the traditions of men, and also getting a good biblical worldview of all the stuff that's going on in the world. Friends, we are racing towards, I believe, the end of men's futile efforts to govern himself, culminating with a one-world government and a individual called the Antichrist that's going to run over everything, everyone, and then Jesus Christ will come back, set up his thousand-year reign. We look forward to that, and I just want to encourage you, if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, please call us. We'll do our very best to explain that to you, give you what the Bible says in context of what that verse is about. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. Got some lines open. You're sure to get on. If you call right now, joining me today, special guest featured CSN speaker. We have with us Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Hi and welcome, Daryl.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all listeners out there. Great to be with you once again on this beautiful Thursday. And we're preparing for a semi-hurricane, I believe it is. It could be a hurricane, might not be a hurricane, but it's going to be hitting us on, we believe, Saturday. And so we're kind of battening down the hatches here in Hawaii. Happens every occasionally, and hopefully the winds will slow down a little bit. I think they're up around 75 to 100 miles an hour right now. So hopefully it'll calm down and we'll be safe and sound, or go south of the islands. It looks like it's got a little bit of a trajectory there. So everybody keep us in prayer that everything works out with this. Hopefully it just becomes a tropical storm, not continuing to, into this hurricane speed and power. South, anyway, good to be with you, Mike. Looking forward to the program.
Yeah, south of Hilo, they're expecting 16 inches of rain.
Man.
16 inches of rain. Idaho doesn't get 7 inches of rain the entire year, and they get it in one storm. But right now, yeah, our prayers are with everybody there, especially the those that are in the low-lying areas. It's always a,
yeah, exactly.
It's always a challenge. So anyway, our prayers
see
are with you.
The Lord
you.
Has.
Again, 8888, ask CSN is the number to call. And before we go to the phones, thank you, Daryl, for being on CSN with your Chosen Generation program that comes on morning times here on CSN all across the United States and around the world on the internet. Thank you. And what you teaching on this Sunday?
Actually, we have a guest speaker coming in. He's with the Reasons for Hope Ministries. They have these great debunk videos that they put out. If you ever want to see some great stuff, they debunk things that the world says is true, but it's not true, and they debunk it with their truth. They're about, I think they're about 3 to 4 minute videos. They got about 30 of those things. They're phenomenally done in an incredible fashion. It's very fast paced, and they just debunk those lies that are out there and bring forth the truth of God's word. So anyway, our guest speaker is going to be Pastor Frank Figueroa. He'll be with us from Reasons for Hope. And I believe, if I understand correctly, he's going to be speaking on the evidence thereof, Jonah the whale and the story of Jonah and the whale, Jonah and the story and the historical event of that took place. So we're looking forward to Frank coming out. Years ago, I hired him on as an associate pastor. Then he became a pastor of another church out here in Hawaii. And then he went into this, the Reasons for Hope Ministries, and he's doing a phenomenal job speaking all over the country, especially at a lot of youth camps and universities and high schools. And it's God's given him a great field of contending for the faith and doing apologetics and so forth. He and his wife travel along together. So we're looking forward to him coming out the following week. The following Sunday, I'll be in the back to the book of Revelation chapter 13 with the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and all that. So we're looking forward to that also.
Exciting
what
stuff.
Do you, Mike, what's going on at your church?
Well, we're looking at when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like. We're going to be looking at what is the kingdom of heaven like. Now, we all know we have a place in heaven for us. Jesus talked about that in John 14, that he was going to prepare a place for us. But what's the kingdom of God like here on this earth? And what is so amazing in this these stories that Jesus gave us is that the kingdom of heaven, and then it shows a deliberate attempt by the underworld to invade it and destroy it. We look at it many, many times all the way through. The kingdom is likened to man going out and sowing seed. And it talks about how the seed was the word of God and how it fall on different hearts and how the birds come and pick it away. We find a little leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that goes into the bread. And a whole loaf is leaven. It's evident. People go, oh, the leaven is just like the gospel. No, it isn't. Leaven is not good. That's why they have unleavened bread. The story focuses really on the bread. The leaven goes into the bread. You can't hide it. And this is the problem. Kingdom of heaven is another one like a mustard tree. And it grows into a tree, and birds come and lodge in the branches. Oh, well, the church is just such a wonderful place. And so birds in the Bible are not good. Now, singularly, birds are okay. We find the dove. We find, Noah sending out the dove. We find a Holy Spirit descending. But birds in general are not a good thing. We remember the birds came and picked the bread off the baker's head. In Joseph's dream, when there was a plot against the Pharaoh, and he said, well, that's not good. They're going to take your head off of you in 3 days. So when we look at this, we realize that, by the way, just very quickly, a mustard seed, a plant in Israel is a sagebrush. It's not much taller than a sagebrush. So if it grows into a tree, it's acting abnormally. And I do believe that churches are very similar to this. They grow large, and then the birds come and lodge in the branches. And, it's interesting, in trees, you can have a lot of birds hide in trees that you don't even see because they're hidden by the leaves. And then if you throw a rock against a tree or something, it seems like the whole tree takes off because they're all in there. Normally, when church grows real big, lots of people are there for the wrong reasons. They're there to sell you a pyramid scheme, or they're there for their business or whatever. The birds come and lodge in the branches. We're going to be talking more about this. What is the kingdom of heaven like? And how do you prepare and use this wisdom that God gives us in these days to preserve the innocency and the truth of the gospel? That's what we're going to be talking about. To the phones we go. Miriam, on the line, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How may
My
we help?
My question is, yes, when the demons asked Jesus to throw them into the pigs, what was the advantage? The pigs jumped over the cliff, so death either way?
I believe the demons are fallen angels. They came out of a spiritual world. They're looking for a body to move into, thus the man that was at Gadara, who was filled with the demons. And they're not able to do what they want to do without a body. Now, it is interesting, the pigs, even in their animalistic state, would not tolerate demons living within them. And so I believe that is it. Probably the first example in the Bible of suicide. Sorry about the pun there. But I believe that they are looking for a body to move into. And I think when a human being breaks down his natural defense against the demonic world through drugs, the occult, getting drunk, all these things, I believe this is when a human being is subject to possibly becoming demon-possessed. And so this is why we need to be very careful. And once a person is demon-possessed, they're not their own. They're in misery. Everywhere in the Bible we find them doing this, they were enslaved or they were out of their mind, as this man of Gadara was. And so we have to understand that there is an attack of the underworld against human beings. And some of these angels are so fierce that fell They're in the bottom of the Euphrates River. When they're let go in the during the tribulation period, they go out and destroy a fourth of mankind. They don't go out and hurt trees and plants and birds. No, they're after human beings. Why? Because I really believe that was what the whole fight in heaven was over, that God made another creation a little lower than the angels, David tells us. That's not bad. They didn't bother him at all. But I believe when then God said, I will elevate them above the angels, you will judge angels, human beings will, and I will call these humans my bride. I don't think that sat well with Lucifer. I don't think that sat well with a third of the host of heaven. And ever since then, the devil has desired, and the demons, to destroy man, all of mankind. And I believe this is what the whole tribulation period is about, not to have Satan worshiped as much as it is to destroy all of humanity. In fact, Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 24, unless those days were shortened, speaking of the tribulation period, nobody would be left alive. So it appears that the devil really wants to destroy human beings. The only defense that we as humans really have against demonic powers is Jesus Christ. And that's why greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, in the conversation that took place, Jesus then asked him, what is your name? And he said, Legion. For many demons had entered the man. And they begged him, begged Jesus, not to command them to depart into the abyss. So they didn't want to go to that place of judgment. They knew who Jesus was. He's the Son of God. He's God incarnate. And they didn't want to go to the abyss. So Jesus, okay, I'm going to cast you guys into the pigs. And not to ham it up at all like you did, Mike, but they went into the pigs. And like you said, the pigs just took off because they went crazy, took off and jumped off the cliff, which is a very unnatural thing for them to do. But they went into the water, and it was done. And the reason why Jesus permitted it, because, okay, it's not time for the abyss yet, but your day is coming. And we know the demons are always looking for another body to inhabit, as you said, Mike. And it's very important for everyone to understand, as Mike just shared that scripture, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Never be afraid of the devil. Never be afraid of demons. Only have the fear of the Lord. God is so much more powerful than Satan and more powerful than the demons. Now, we have respect for them. We realize the power that they have. But at the same time, we're never to be afraid. Where there's fear, the Bible says there is torment. But perfect love casts out all fear. So be strong, my friends, in the faith. Let God use your life and stand strong against the enemy. And don't think about demons all the time. Some people are thinking about demons all the time. There's a noise in their house at night. Oh, my goodness, it's a demon. No, don't even think of him. Don't give him the time of day. Keep thinking about Jesus. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's the one that takes care of you forever and ever. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, and as we find that great wisdom in the book of Jude, always keep Jesus between you and the devil. Hope that helps.
I had another question.
Okay.
About the giants. God made all creation, so why do they refer to, like, the giants were there before creation?
Well, they weren't there before creation. They were there before whatever was going on there in Genesis 6 was going on. It says that, and there were giants or Nephilim in the land in those days, is what it says, and then afterward. This is something that everybody seems to leave these three words out. And then afterward, when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, saw that they were fair, went into them and had children of renown. The Bible says the giants were already here. Very clear. And then afterwards, I tell everybody, Genesis 6, underline that in your Bible, because it all of a sudden clarifies everything. And then afterward, so important. And I believe that there were probably genetic things going on before the flood. I think that we today see giants. In fact, Russia years ago in the mid-50s tried to breed super soldiers by taking, you know, finding a, you know, a 6'7" girl and a, you know, 6'8" guy and having them have babies and trying to make a super race of giant soldiers. I don't know how it ever worked out, but we know that we see, even today, we see people that are abnormally large in size. I believe those that were before the flood that were probably even much larger than that, from what we understand. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, the giants, as you said, Mike, before and after, you look at the size of Goliath, he was like over 9 feet, and a powerful, powerful man. And yet David, he took him out with that one stone as he hurled it, because he did it in the name of the Lord. Once again, we realize the power of God and his victory that he has granted us in the name of Jesus Christ. It's important to realize that Goliath also had some other brothers, and they had to be taken out. I think it was four other brothers, and they had to be probably taken out also. But there's large people. I think we have got a basketball player playing for San Antonio, and he's about 7'4". There's just large people, and you can call him a giant if you want, but 9 foot tall Goliath, he'd be referred to as a giant, and very powerful, powerful people. And we can't take the Bible and extrapolate where we don't have all the information. So this is where we have to be careful. We know the days were very vicious, very wicked, very awful. Crime was rampant, rape was rampant, probably child molestation was rampant. Everything you can imagine going on, homosexuality, so forth. Everything was rampant at that time. And God says, I regret making mankind, because they've made such poor decisions to follow, not after me, but after Satan, after the image of worshiping the demons and so forth, and being so vicious and wicked towards one another. Remember, there's two commandments our Lord Jesus gave us. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is a great problem in the days we're living today, that people aren't loving their neighbor as themselves, that people are not loving God. And so you have a lot of crime, you got a lot of wickedness, you got a lot of evil, whether it be white collar or just regular in the street crimes, you know, and so forth, drug cartels all over the place. The Bible speaks of all these things in the last days. Jesus says it'll be like the days of Noah. Jesus said it'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you even see in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, they did not repent of their sexual immoralities, nor did they repent of their pharmakia, their illicit drug cartels and so forth, and their worship of demons and idols and so forth. All these things taking place in these last days are the times of Noah and the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
So I hope that helps, Miriam.
Yes, thank you very much. Have a blessed week.
You too, Miriam. Yeah. Thanks so much for the call. And if you like Sale, I'll send a little book called Time to Grow. You might enjoy it. Got a lot of good information in there. And if you like it, Sale, I'll just send it to you. God bless you, dear. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Debbie, Olympia, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I have recently become a grandma.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And we haven't had a baby in the family for a while. So I needed to ask on maybe some advice. We've been praying about this. He's 3 months old. His name is Uriah. It's a beautiful name, isn't it?
Yes.
And we're wondering about getting his vaccinations. Of course we'd never do the COVID. I don't believe that anybody should get the COVID shot, but we're kind of, nervous about the vaccines. His parents, you know, we want to do what God wants us to do. And we're thinking that we don't want him to get vaccines because there's so much controversy about him. He's not in daycare. He will never be. They've chosen just to do without a lot of extras and just have one income, which is my son, and she's going to stay home and raise the baby. So praise God, she's going to be taking care of him. You won't have to go to daycare, but eventually he probably will go to school. Hopefully God returns before that.
Yes.
But, so what are your guys' views on vaccinations?
Well, dear, I'm not a doctor, so I can't really give advice on this. I do know that according to what Mr. Kennedy says, who's the head of our health department now, he said there is a lot of problems with those. It seems like a lot of the repercussions of these vaccinations have been doctored and hidden. I'm always concerned about that. Of course, we all know now that the whole COVID vaccination was just a big scam. And it's really unfortunate because I know a lot of people right now who have permanent health damage from this vaccination, and it's really tragic. And of course, Brad Dacus, attorney at law, who's on with us on Mondays, handles many cases where this vaccination was forced upon workers in which they quit their job rather than taking this. Now to find out it was the very thing that probably saved their life and cost them their job. And so he has many cases in litigation right now over forcing people to take poison into their body. And this is a real tragedy because it does and has caused many problems. We have a nurse in our church, and I asked him, I said, are you having any COVID people coming in now in the emergency room or anything like that? He goes, nope, the only ones we're treating are people who took the shot. He goes, those people have got lots of serious issues. And so we do know that it was not good. As far as the mRNA or whatever it is for mRNA vaccinations, it appears that there may be some issues. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to really advise you on that. I would certainly say I would do your research. But I just think we need to be careful. I thank God for the polio vaccination. I think there's a lot of really good ones that are out there. But we just got to be careful because sometimes we just think any vaccination is good. And certainly history now has absolutely proved that that is not the case. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, as you said, Mike, we're not doctors. And I know Robert Kennedy Jr. there is really trying to reconstruct the CDC. And I believe he's doing a great job. And he's really trying to evaluate all these different vaccinations and how is it we have so much autism today in children and so forth. And they're trying to figure it out, which is fantastic that they're doing this along with Dr. Oz and others. And the other thing is, I just heard recently, I think it was last week, President Trump was talking to Robert Kennedy about it. And they're talking about spreading out those vaccinations, not all bunched together, getting shot after shot after shot, but spreading them out like 3 months apart, 4 months apart, 6 months apart, and really trying to decide which ones are truly needful for little ones and that are not harmful, of course. Like you said, we have had the polio vaccine around for quite some time, I think from the early 50s or late 50s, something like that, 60s. And it's a proven vaccination without complication, I believe anyway. I haven't heard complications from polio vaccines. But I think you got to do your research. You got to go into prayer. And if you can find some bit of anti-vaccine doctors might be better than a pro-vaccine doctor. So you get kind of a delineation. What's the best one? What would be the most harmful and so forth? And what is not necessary? I think that's really important because if it's not necessary, why take a shot that's not necessary? So anyway, that's kind of our opinion on this. And hopefully that helps you out. And congratulations on having a grandson. That's pretty exciting. I've got a grandson and a granddaughter, and they're a whole lot of fun. They grew up in a hurry, though. I tell you that much. It's amazing. Mike, I give it back to you.
Amen. And so, yeah, Debbie, congratulations again on that. And I would just do your research. And there's a lot of, I think, good places to go out there. But it'd be very hard for us to give any advice on that. We're not doctors. So, if I was in the place right now of vaccinating my children, I think I would really do as much research as I possibly can before I'd make a determination on something like that. Because there's something, they said that the autism in the Amish community is almost non-existent. So what is it that the people outside of the Amish community is doing different to their children than we're doing? Many people attribute it to over-vaxxing these poor kids. So I don't know. But I would just invite you to really do some good research on that before, uh, before you do anything, because I think it's just wise and prudent in these days that we live in. Hope that helps, dear.
Would you pray with me?
Well, sure. Father, we just ask you that you would give Debbie the good wisdom and direct her to the right places. Lord, we pray for her little grandson, and we just ask you that you would bless his family, and through all this, they would grow closer to you and understand what a loving God you are, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, dear. And if you like, stay in line, send you a little book you might enjoy. And we're going to go to Lloyd, Queens Creek, Arizona. Hi, and welcome.
Yes, I have a question on the Revelation chapter 14, mm-hmm. verse 14, 15, and 16. I kind of understand 14 and 15. What I'd like to know is what that timing is. And in verse 16, who does he reap?
14, 15, and 16. Well, I'm just going to read that for the benefit of everybody here. Verse 14 starts off, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and the cloud sat on one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice, to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, I believe this is all part of what's going on in Revelation, but when we start getting this late in the book, we begin to get close to the bowl judgments. And I believe this is where the great sharp sickle goes in, a world that's fully now made their decision to be rotten and rebellious to God. God brings his judgments. Boy, I really want your input on this, Daryl. So we're coming up on a break. Don't go away. We're going to have a lot more right after this.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday, 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. Which story will you help write for the next generation? To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
I want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner and his program Chosen Generation on the CSN radio station's Morning Times here. And Daryl, I'm so glad you're with us. And we got this question out of Revelation. Now, you're currently teaching in your church on Revelation, And we're talking about this time in which man's wickedness has finally, they've made their decision. We're going to be as absolutely as wicked as we can be. And so now comes the great harvest of their wickedness. Your thoughts?
Yeah, as you look to this reaping and the sickle going in, and then, of course, you have the bowl judgments. And then in chapter 16 will be the bold judgments. But this is a vision of the Battle of Armageddon, not a full vision, but a partial vision of what's going to take place as the Lord will come back with the victor's crown. And he's going to put in the sickle and reap that which is ripe for harvest. And the ripeness is the sin of mankind. It is like a putrid sore that he's going to rip out. And we know that the Battle of Armageddon is going to go about 200 miles in length in the Valley of Megiddo, and it'll be the blood will be up to a horse's bridle. The Lord will do his work there as he comes back the second time. He's going to destroy them, all his enemies. The Antichrist will try to gather all the enemies, all the nations of the world together to fight against the Lord. We read about it in Psalm 2, and he'll try to fight against the Lord, and the Lord will then thrust in his sickle, and he's going to destroy them with the word of his mouth. And the Valley of Megiddo filled up to a horse's bridle with blood. And the blood will be upon the Lord himself. Isaiah 63 says he has the garments that are covered in blood like the fierceness of the winepress. And he'll go down to Basra where the protected remnant of Israel, the Jewish people, have been protected after the institution and the mark of the beast and the abomination of desolation takes place in chapter 13. So he'll go down there. He's going to grab the Jewish people. He's going to bring them forth back to Jerusalem because Jesus will reign and rule for 1,000 years there on the throne of David. And peace and prosperity will come to the nation of Israel, to all the Jewish people, as promised throughout the prophets of God. So that's kind of a nutshell understanding of what's taking place. But this is a kind of a glimpse, if you will, of the Battle of Armageddon that's going to take place with the sickle and so forth. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
And we do see this in Hebrew writing fairly clearly throughout all the Bible, where the Bible will make a statement, then it'll go back and fill in the details. And I think that this is what possibly this, and this is also a reminder. Now, you got to remember, this is all the book of Revelation from Revelation 6 to 19 is only a period of 7 years. So we're not talking a huge amount of time here for these events to take place. People would say, well, why is this even in the Bible? Is it to scare Christians and scare people? No, it's to help people that are left behind navigate through the worst time in the history of the world so they will know that God is real, based upon prophecy, because they're going to be required to die for their faith. That's why it is written in order. I see a lot of these Johnny jump-ups on the internet. Oh, this thing that appeared in the sky, this is the fifth seal in Revelation. No, it's not. It's not the fifth seal in Revelation. It is all in order. And it's to bolster the faith for those who will be martyrs during the tribulation period. The book of Revelation, it's the unveiling of who Jesus Christ is. And you know, people have got some pretty screwy ideas of who Jesus is. Well, that's just Jesus holding the little lambs. I saw a picture of him in the bookstore. You don't picture Jesus coming back on a horse with a sword, hacking the wicked people of the world into pieces. Oh, no, that kind of wrecks your picture. The Pope saying anybody that wages war is not of God. Wow, really? Well, what about Jesus when he comes back to this earth to execute judgment and he wages war with those on the earth? You see, we understand that this is in order. And again, because there is going to be a huge number. John didn't even know who they were, but he said there was a huge number under the altar. Who are these, Lord? He didn't even know who they were. He goes, these are the martyrs that came up out of the great tribulation. John never had any trouble finding the church, ever. But he didn't know who the martyrs were that came up out of the great tribulation. So again, written in order for us. And I think this is a picture now that's indicating this now is the beginning of the end. And by the way, this verse, chapter 14, is probably right about 3.5 years into the tribulation period. Revelation 13, 14, right about the middle of the tribulation period. And so the last part of the tribulation period, we really find now these cataclysmic things, not brought on by the devil, but these things are brought on by God. It appears that the first 3.5 years, many of these things are brought on by man. Now, at God's beckoning, we find again the seal judgments that are broken and these things break out on the earth. But when we get into the bowl judgments, this is 100% God doing it. And again, you know, these people, their little old bony hands, hey, I'm going to shake my fist in the face of God. I'm going to, yeah, yeah. God just goes, you're done. That's why the Bible says today is the appointed day of salvation. So important. Hope that helps, Lloyd.
Yes, thank you very much.
God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. And, you know, in Revelation, I will say this. We do find these little interjections in the Bible. And I think it's really important that as we find these things that are put in there, they're just to remind us that, well, as Jesus even puts in there, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. People say, oh, well, that must be when the rapture's. No, it's a reminder. You want to go in the rapture. You don't want to be left behind. That's what this is all about. And so, again, I've had people say to me, oh, well, you know, I want to party on now, dude. If I miss the rapture, I'll just die for Jesus, okay? Hey, if you won't live for Jesus when things are good, why are you going to die for Jesus when things are tough? See, doesn't make any sense. Today is the appointed day of salvation. God bless you, Lloyd. Stay in line if you like. Send you a little book. 8888. Ask the Ascends the number to call. We have Andy on the line in Montana. Hi, welcome.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
So we're getting pretty apocalyptic today on the show. I'm liking it.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think it's getting closer and closer every day. You know, when you look, I look at everything in the news, Luke or Andy, and I see, man, I go, man, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, I had friends that went over to Vietnam, got their arms and legs blown off, trying to keep this vicious cancer called communism out of our world. And now in Minnesota, they vote for them. Willfully voting for communists that 40, 50, 60 years ago, we deliberately tried to stop. You think America's in trouble? Hey, I'll tell you, as I look at this, you know, everybody, you need to understand this. God's merciful, but and I believe that we need to do what we can do in this time of mercy. But when the Massachusetts governor 2 days ago signed into law that you can abort a child up to the very second that they're born. Friends, this is hardcore murder. There's no other way around it. And the Bible, King David said, you knew me in my mother's womb. And yet we have this governor in Massachusetts, and as she's signing this to be able to kill a baby, up to when it's born, and all the ghouls and jackals are standing around clapping and smiling. I'm going, what is this that people rejoice over the murder of children? Oh, America, we're going to have a judgment, friends. We are. And that's why work for the night is coming. Sorry to interrupt you, Andy, on your question, but boy, when I saw that on the newsreels and even the secular news companies, I'm not talking about Christian news CBN or whatever, but even the secular are saying this is like ghoulish, demonic jackal stuff. Yeah, it is, friends. When they sit back and applaud that you can murder a baby, oh, it's good. And why will they stop there? Maybe they'll be able to do it clear up to when they're in kindergarten. Who knows? You see, when you don't value life, and they don't, You're evolved sludge. You're a cosmic mistake. Remember that. That's their philosophy. That's what evolution teaches us. Then, really, who cares if you kill a baby or not? It's just tissue is all it is. It's, you know. And if you don't, listen, if you don't value a baby, then, well, with government-mandated health care, and they look at you and say, well, yeah, you've got cancer. We could cure you, but there's so many other people in our free healthcare system now. We don't really have time to remove the cancer for you. Go do your civic duty and die. We do offer, though, death counseling. See, do you see the slippery slope America is on? Vote for me. Everything is free. We're not going to have any more borders or police or prisons. Do you realize there has been no country in the history of the world that has ever existed without borders? It shows you either they're deliberately trying to destroy America or they're so illiterate because they have never studied world history to be able to even make such remarks. They shouldn't be running for anything. Well, our party is for the working class. You hear that all the time. We're the working class. Well, let's take a look at some of these DSA idealisms. The working class in Cuba. Shared poverty of the working class. How about China, where they could make a screwdriver, electric screwdriver, for $8? Do you know why they can do that? Because they pay their workers 20 cents an hour. Yeah, that's the working class of the Communist Party. Yeah. How about Venezuela? How about North Korea? See, they're all quoting Karl Marx. They're all having the same ideology. But we're for the working class. I saw the working class newsreels of North Korea and Cuba and Venezuela and China and Russia. They are liars. Liars. Got to remember that. So, Andy, sorry, what is your question?
I love the enthusiasm. It's great. So my question is also sort of apocalyptic. So this is Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven or fall from heaven. And so my question is, you know, there's other parts of the Bible that do refer to Satan being thrown down with his third of the stars, like in Revelation chapter 12.
Yes.
And it's done in either an allegorical or a literal or both sort of way. I'm just wondering, when Jesus is referring to it here in the gospel, is he referring to a literal event where Satan is thrown down as if it was a lightning bolt? Or is this a figure of speech or a hyperbole? Because Jesus does often like to use hyperbole in other sections of the gospels when referring to certain things like, you know, cut off your hand if it's leading you to sin and so forth.
No, I believe it's actual. I really believe it's actual. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. It was good. There was no fault in anything that he'd made. He saw the earth. It was very good. Repeated over and over again how good this world was when he made it. I believe Satan fell somewhere after Adam and Eve were created in the garden, when it was revealed that this new creation was going to eventually be above the angels. Because Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. That is not, it doesn't even wiggle of a hyperbole or anything like that. And I believe that the next question would be then, he beheld Satan fall like lightning from where to where? I believe from his position in heaven to being on this earth. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting as we look at the passage, it says then verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And then it says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I think this particular passage is speaking of Satan has lost his authority over mankind because now authority is found in the name of Jesus Christ. If you ask anything in my name, Jesus says, I will do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whenever demons are cast out or the authority of the enemy is broken, it's always in the power and the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in Revelation 12, as you mentioned, my dear friend, it talks about a war in heaven during the tribulation period. And it reads as follows, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels speak, the dragon speaks to the devil. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out of this, out that the serpent of old, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now that's a very fascinating passage of scripture. There's a war in heaven during the tribulation period, and Satan has no longer access to heaven whatsoever, as he did with Job, in the battle of Job and him and with God. And so, but he's cast it along with all of his minions, his demons. What does that exactly mean? It's, we can speculate that are the angels going to be actually, demons actually going to take on the bodies of men and we walk in the earth, or they're just cast down and they only habit beings on the earth. So it's going to be it's a horrific time. You don't want to be here, my friends. But there is this war, and you can see that the authority and the powers of Satan and what he does is being stripped away from him even during the tribulation period. And as that's why, as born-again Christians, my friends, we have the power of Christ in us. You know, we're now born again of what? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And we have the power and the authority of Jesus Christ who conquered, the Bible says, he conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered the devil for us. So we are not to fear. We're to be strong. We're to be bold. We're to be powerful believers in Jesus Christ through prayer, through the Word of God, and the authority that's found in our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. So that's kind of how I'm reviewing this at this time as we look to the Scriptures. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, I believe when Satan fell in the rebellion that he led, we find it outlined in Isaiah chapter 14, pride entered his heart, I'll be as the Most High, and he was cast out. I think that that was a major thing. Now, his access to heaven has not yet been revoked. As you shared, Daryl, that will happen midway through the tribulation period. Michael and his angels fought, Satan fought, and they're kicked out of heaven. They no longer can come before the Father accusing the brethren day and night. This is what the Bible tells us. Satan accuses the brethren before the Father day and night. We find this exemplified in the book of Job, chapter 1. We know positionally he's been removed. His access to heaven has not yet been removed, but it will be. I believe when his authority, when his resident domain being in heaven was revoked, and he was cast down. The Bible says Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this earth. So when we understand all the verses that pertain to who the devil is, was, and who he, and eventually where he will be, I think we can come to a conclusion that his power removal was monumentous. His residency in heaven was removed and cast down, as Jesus said. We do know that he still has the ability to go and accuse the brethren, as he did with Job and all of us. We know that that's going to be revoked midway through the tribulation when the war is fought. And the Bible says he comes down to this earth full of wrath. He knows his time is short. And so I hope that helps.
If I could add one last thing.
Go ahead.
As we look to the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ as he starts, just about ready to start his public ministry, of course, he's fast for 40 days and he's tempted by the devil. Now, here's the key, folks, for all of our lives as believers in spiritual warfare. Jesus three times was tempted, and each time he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he's quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting mostly from the book of Deuteronomy, if I remember correctly. And so this is why we must learn the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. because the enemy's going to come and attack the word of God. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says we are to submit, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he must flee from us. How do I submit to God? I get into the word of God. We're sanctified by the word of God, Jesus said. We're sanctified by the word of truth. And thus we use that word of God as a sword of the Spirit. It's our offensive weapon against the enemy. We have a shield of faith. Faith comes with hearing. Hearing by the word of God, that we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is why it's so vitally important that every preacher is preaching the entire Bible and make sure the word of God is going forth for God's people to be strong, healthy, and powerful in the kingdom of heaven. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. So I hope that Andy answers it for you.
Yeah, sort of. I guess I don't exactly agree on the timing, because it seems like there seems to be numerous different interpretations over the history of the Christian church on when Satan falls at which time, and Revelation can be pretty complicated to understand, period, right? I mean,
well, I think if you look at all of it, I think here's the problem. See, the timing, you mentioned the timing. Well, let's go back. What does the Bible say? God created the heavens and the earth. Read it. It says he created the sun, the moon, the stars, plants, everything. It was good, very good. What's a devil doing in a very good world? That makes no sense. In fact, it couldn't be a very good world. Then God's lying, because it ain't a good world. It's bad. And seventh day, God rested. And then, but there's no mention of the devil taking up residency on this earth, because the earth was very good. Adam and Eve, see, and here's the other problem. Everybody thinks, well, you know, God rested on the seventh day, and then on the eighth day, Adam and Eve ate of the tree, and on the ninth day, they got kicked out of the garden, and then the tenth day, Cain killed Abel. And no, this could have gone on for thousands of years. We don't know. But some point, the word got out that angels were going to be less than this new creation God had made. Never anywhere in the Bible do you find that the angels will also be called the bride of Christ. Only human beings. And I believe that is extremely important. And again, as long as man had not been created, it wasn't a threat to any of the angels. Why would it be a problem? And so I don't think that it's too hard to understand. And, you know, Daryl, your thoughts on this, but
yes.
I don't think Revelation's too hard to understand once you know the rest of the Bible. Do you?
No, it's not. And I'll give you, this is where I think maybe we're a little bit perplexed. There's three events where we read about the devil. Isaiah 14, you mentioned, Mike, is the five I wills of Satan, that he's going to exalt himself above God. You get to Ezekiel 28, we find another reference to the devil, and he was the most beautiful angel. He was in charge of probably the choirs in heaven, the worship in heaven, and he's walking in the Garden of Eden also. And then, of course, you can read the book of Genesis, see the fall of Adam and Eve. Of course, there was a rebellion in heaven at one particular time with Satan, Lucifer, his name was, called, and a third of the angels followed him. We read that in Revelation 12. A third, his tail gathers a third of the angels. So there's three events. One is he first is in heaven, and the angels were given the free will to either follow God or to reject God, to rebel against God, to worship God or to not worship God. They were given the choice, and once they made their final decision, they were separated. And thus you have the angels that are also operating as demons in people's lives. There's all kinds of elevations of demons and so forth, angels, fallen angels. And then you have also the reality that that the authority has been stripped from Satan. When Jesus makes that comment there in Luke's gospel chapter, was it chapter 10, verse 18? He made the comment about the authority and so forth. Because why? The kingdom of heaven is now coming to us. We're born again of the Holy. We're going to be born again of the Holy Spirit. The power of Jesus Christ is now available. And then the third aspect is going to be that war in heaven, where finally Satan is going to be stripped of his ultimate reference going to heaven, and also he's going to be destroyed at just a little bit later, as he's going to be cast into the abyss for 1,000 years, and then he'll be released, and then he's going to be ultimately defeated and then cast into the lake of fire along with all the rebelling angels. So all that, these are the aspects of the work of Satan and his history and future. Mike?
Yeah, and so he's got a pretty dark future. Somebody says, well, why doesn't he just cry uncle? I mean, he already knows he's going to lose. He even quoted the Bible to Jesus. Why doesn't he just just say I'm sorry. You see, pride, it blinds people to reality. It blinds humans today. You can go to a person that's got terminal cancer and you can say, do you want to accept Christ? You've got terminal cancer. You're going to die. No, I'm going to beat this thing. I'm thinking about even getting remarried again, having a family. You know, pride blinds people to reality. Well, don't you know your drinking is killing you? Ah, yeah, but I'll beat it. These drugs, you're going to end up destroying your life. Oh, no, it doesn't. That's for other people. I'm still in control. That's the lie. You see, pride always blinds. You know, the Bible says pride is at the root of every sin. Hope that helps. We're all out of time. Amir and Helen, please call us back. We'll put you on very first thing tomorrow. Thank you so much, Daryl, for being on. Look forward to being back with you. Be sure to listen to Daryl's program, Chosen Generation, morning times here on CSN. Until tomorrow, God bless you. Good night.
Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.